Hello, everyone. I am Oklahoma Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell coming to you with another episode of the Innovate That podcast brought to you by the great folks at OCAST. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great episode in store for you. We're thrilled to feature a company today really on the forefront of cutting-edge advancements in wound care. This would be very helpful in my house with four little kids. Para Nano is the name of the company, Para Nano Wound Care LLC. It's a med tech company right here from Oklahoma City, the modern frontier, as we are now calling Oklahoma City, focused on the development and commercialization of smart bandages that detect infection in wounds. This is fascinating to me, so I'm really looking forward to this. So please join me in welcoming Chelsea Luxon, CEO and co-founder of Para Nano Wound Care LLC, to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we're kind of on year two here of our Innovate That podcast with OCAST, and it's been a real blessing for me just to be able to meet all of these innovative Oklahomans that we have, and really to tell their story and to help connect the dots for hopefully entrepreneurs that are listening to this right now. It's a big goal of these podcasts. So I really appreciate you coming today.
Yeah, certainly. I love talking about this stuff. I'm, from Oklahoma, born and raised here. And so I'm very passionate about the growing ecosystem that is changing, and the infrastructure that's being built. So I'm really excited to talk about it.
Good. Well, let's jump right in. I mean, first off, just could you start by letting the audience know a little bit about you and share your journey of what led you to Para Nano?
Yeah, of course. So I've always been very interested in entrepreneurship from a very young age, and always been a very hard worker. And so through my college experience, I started taking entrepreneurship classes and realized that what I was doing was very well suited for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So I actually graduated in 2014 from UCO and stuck around an extra semester to go to the business plan competition. And we competed. We won second place, $32,000.
Nice.
It was
That's
awesome.
Real money.
That's
real money.
And so that was the first company that I ever was able to co-found officially. Because after we won, we were like, our team was like, well, this seems like a good idea.
Right.
Let's go ahead and make it a reality.
Sure.
So it's been a whirlwind ride, lots of learning opportunities. And actually, the technology that I originally was licensing is the first license agreement that UCO ever created for a company and a startup, specifically for students.
Okay.
So a huge opportunity for all of us to kind of, again, build infrastructure in the state that was not previously there.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really rewarding experience to work with UCO and continue down this path. So as we keep moving,
shout out to UCO there.
Yeah, there
shout
you go. And then as we kind of moved on, the original company, as first companies do, did not quite pan out how we thought it was going to.
Yeah.
So we decided to pivot and start looking for specific applications for this really cool technology that UCO had access to.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where wound care came to be. I was at a conference in Chicago pitching, hey, I have the ability to create novel cross-aligned membranes, which is commercially unavailable right now. We are the only ones who can do that.
Okay.
And I'm looking for specific med tech applications for this. And someone approached me from Canada, the University of Manitoba, and said, we have researchers doing wound care. They're using nanofibers, but their nanofibers are, there are limitations to the process that they're using. So let's see if we can combine technologies.
Cool.
So rather than, licensing them our technology, convince them and all parties to license it to my co-founder Maurice and I and started Para Nano Wound Care. We said, we'll commercialize it for you if you just give us access.
I love it.
Yeah.
You got into a little bit of this, but explain how your technology stands out in the wound care industry.
Yeah.
There's probably not a lot of people listening right now that are experts in the wound care industry.
Yes.
What makes it unique?
Yeah, of course. So I like to start out with wound care is one of the factors of being human, right? Every single one of us as a human is going to have a wound in their life at some point. Mm-hmm. But wound care is really, really complicated, especially for certain types of wounds, like complex wounds. And so when we were initially conceptualizing what a company and what a technology could look like, we really wanted to make sure that we were addressing gaps in the industry. And so what we have done, we went through the NSF, National Science Foundation, iCORE program, and we really honed in on talking to providers, nurses, doctors, even patients with wounds.
Yeah, smart, go straight to the source.
Exactly. Yeah. We talked to over 150 people over the course of 7 weeks to find out what are the pain points of wound care. And how can we mold our technology, you know, to address those pain points? We realize that Medicare spends nearly $100 billion a year on wound care. Mm-hmm. That's driven because wounds are getting infected. And then you look at the infection rates. Okay, well, why are we spending so much money and infections are leading to hospitalizations, amputations, death, sepsis, horrible, horrible outcomes. And we realize that there's no way to know when a wound has gone from critically colonized to infected. There's no way to know, you know, just by looking at a wound on, you know, one of your kids, for example, that it has officially crossed into a dangerous threshold.
Yeah.
And so that's what we have designed our product to do.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it
really
is. It's a simple color change. So basically, it's a flexible, wearable nanofiber membrane that is novel in not only how it's created, but how the color change happens. So when it interacts with a certain biomarker that indicates early infection, it changes color from yellow to green. So you have a clear yes or no indication that, hey, something's going on here. We need to seek care. Like a smoke detector. You know, if it goes off, you should probably do something about it, right?
It's one of those inventions, one of those ideas that certainly people say, I wish I would have come up with this, you know?
Or
why doesn't this exist yet? It's 2024, for goodness sakes, right? I think it's great. So you've explained the product. I think people can certainly see the need, how impressive this is. How has the support from OCAST, you know, contributed to the development of these innovations? Because again, we always like to kind of connect the dots for folks. Okay, hey, someone listening right now may have the next great idea too.
Of course.
But what's that story with OCAST on how they made this a reality as well?
Yeah, so we've been very fortunate to be engaging with OCAST and other state institutions that have been funded by OCAST from the very beginning, from my first company. So we've taken advantage of just about everything you can take advantage of. We work, you know, very closely with the New Product Development Center. We have worked with the Oklahoma Manufacturers Alliance, OK Catalyst. They're all just so good at what they do. It's quite incredible that we have these resources available to entrepreneurs at either a very, very low cost or for free. So, you know, it's people need to take advantage for sure. So we've utilized all of those sources. And then we've also been able to acquire our own OCAST funding through the TBFP program, which is Technology Business Finance Program. We were able to get two rounds of that funding through I2E, which helped us combine the two university technologies, improve feasibility. And then through working with OK Catalyst, we were able to expand that even further and win an SBIR phase one with the Defense Health Agency. And they were imperative to us and that success. And then through all of that, we've been working continuously with the New Product Development Center, not only to create the prototypes that I shared with you today, but to also partner with us on grants. We've also won an ORS grant as well. Which has just, again, propelled us into commercialization, which we're about 12 months away from having our first product officially available on the market in a limited capacity.
Good for you. I mean, again, all those names from the I2Es to New Product Development Center, write those names down. Because I agree, we're proud of the services that we provide that are there. And there's just far too many people that don't know about them.
Certainly.
And so kudos to you to, again, finding them and taking advantage of those sources. So looking ahead, what is the vision for para-nano wound care? I mean, are there upcoming projects or areas of innovation that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah. I mean, always, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, my co-founder and I are constantly thinking of new ways that we can use this technology. So wound care, chronic wound care, is our lowest hanging fruit. We do have a first customer who has committed to purchasing this in
Excellent.
Our first official year, which is Great. Really exciting.
Yeah.
And helping us with post-market clinical studies, you know, getting this on the market, things like that. So that's our main focus right now.
That's this year, 2024 is,
yes.
Okay.
The 2024 is, we want to get from, you know, where we are now, which is manufacturing validation, through the self-registration process with FDA.
Okay.
And then limited market release, so we can start putting this on humans and getting some clinical data.
Yeah.
And then looking towards 2025, you know, start really looking at other vertical applications of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our unique detection mechanism and novel technology, it's not limited to just chronic wounds. We can detect infection or, mm-hmm. you know, high early infection for a myriad of different things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could be a new angle.
Lines.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, thinking about ways to utilize state funding, non-dilutive government funding to develop these other applications, you know, UTI monitoring, using it with negative pressure wound therapy, and assays and things like that.
Yeah.
There's just, the sky's kind of the limit
sure.
in this platform technology, but our main focus is getting this onto the market and into the hands of patients so we can start, you know, creating these future value propositions.
That's great.
And product lines.
That's really good. So you talked about, again, the goal of getting it on humans, but
yes.
can you share any success stories to date or feedback from, again, not patients, but folks that have benefited from your products to date?
Absolutely. So when we went through that NSF iCord program and beyond, we did not just go through the program and stop talking to people, obviously. The feedback from providers in the industry has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees that smart wound care is the way of the future. You know, you ask people like, what, you know, in wound care, we've got skin substitutes, we've got really cool, you know, up and coming diagnostics, but what do you really want?
Yeah.
The providers want something that will take a job off of their plate or, you know, do something for them in a really nice packaged way where they don't have to interpret data or add on to their already full, you know, plate.
Sure.
So when we heard that, and then we have been sharing what our technology actually does, the response has been resoundingly, this is so necessary.
Okay.
This is so needed, especially in a home health environment or for long-term care, right? So you have these patients who have chronic, complex wounds. These patients might never be able to close these wounds. They might have them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And the number one concern is infection. But how do you tell if a patient has infection? The current standard of care is, it's called clinical signs and symptoms. So you're looking at the wound, you're saying, okay, is there more exudate, swelling, redness, things like that? Are you running a fever? But these are really, really difficult for unskilled providers or the patients or, you know, caregivers themselves to interpret. Because are you running a fever because you have COVID?
Yeah.
Or because you may have a wound infection,
right?
And so providing a tool that can be, again, that clear yes or no, you need to do something about it. You need to call your doctor, get in the car, drive 3 hours if you're in a rural area, because this is serious, because we want to save your life. We want to save your limbs.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that you are getting a treatment plan in place so much earlier. And that has really resonated with wound care providers.
That's good. Well, and you may have the statistics. I don't want to put you on the spot, but yeah, I mean, infections that have led to loss of limbs, it's probably higher than I would even expect.
And there's a huge push right now in the industry to preserve limbs. I mean, if you look at the mortality rate for people who have had diabetic foot ulcers, averaged across 5 years, And then the mortality rate of all types of cancer, again, averaged across 5 years, it is almost the same. So this is a high chance that if you have a chronic wound, that chronic wound will eventually lead to mortality, death. And it's a really scary thing. And amputation's the same way. If you have an amputated limb, your chances of dying much sooner are higher, which is just horrible.
It's a life-changing idea. I mean, it really is.
Thank you.
We couldn't be more thrilled that, again, it got birthed right here in Oklahoma, which really kind of leads to the final question we always ask our guests. You know, why Oklahoma? Why did, you know, you... I believe you're from here, but you know, we're Oklahomans by choice. We're choosing to stay in Oklahoma, but why did you choose Oklahoma to develop this product and scale the company here in your home state?
Yeah. So I think it was both opportunity. You know, we started our first company here and then started our second company here. I've lived in a different state for a period of my life. I did live on the West Coast, but it just always seemed like Oklahoma had the opportunities for growth and the opportunities that other states don't have, specifically through OCAS-funded programs, you know, like the New Product Development Center. How do you find another New Product Development Center? Like, you don't.
You know,
you're looking on the West Coast or the East Coast, and you're not going to be able to find another Dr. Taylor and his team. You know, same with the funding that is available to startups. It's like, it's just so incredible how much infrastructure is already in place for startups and entrepreneurs, but how difficult it is to get access to the same type of support in other states. And so, you know, for me, it was like, it was a no-brainer. My family's here. I moved back during COVID, and it was like, yeah, of course I'm going to stay here, you know? Boston is great, you know, Silicon Valley is great. I love visiting, but there's just so much opportunity here. And then you think about everything that OCAS is trying to do with growing the infrastructure, especially for biosciences and life sciences. It's like immense. And so to be a part of the ecosystem that's constantly changing and also growing in that regard, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's good to hear, because we are hearing that more and more.
Yeah.
Hey, Boston's great. Silicon Valley's great. We go visit there every once in a while, but we want to live in a state that you know, tries to help its citizens more, and for that matter, you know, it is a little bit smaller, so it is easier to get involved, to make a difference early. We hear that a lot as well. And, you know, the secret's out. The secret is out that Oklahoma is a wonderful place to live, work, and raise a family and scale a business. And so we couldn't be more thrilled that that you chose Oklahoma.
Thank you. It's really fun, because I'm part of a couple of nationwide global programs, actually. One of them being the Blue Knight program, which is Johnson & Johnson and BARDA created this program called Blue Knight. And there are no other companies from Oklahoma in this program, or even, you know, the dedicated true Midwest of our surrounding states, except for in Texas. So it's really cool to be able to, like, go to these other accelerators, be a part of conferences, you know, representing Oklahoma on a global scale of these, you know, very unique 42 companies that have been accepted into this really cool program. So, you know, I'm always pushing it. Like, you guys, you're just wait.
just wait's right, because again, we want this company to be everything that it can be, but but we know there's so many more stories that are going to come out of Oklahoma, because that migration to the middle of the country is happening. It's real. And I think there's going to be a whole lot more people showing up here. So, Chelsea, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been so, it's just been a pleasure.
Good, good. Well, we wish you all the success, and I know that OCAST and our partners will continue to help wherever we possibly can.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
The Innovate That podcast has been brought to you by OCAST. If you like the show, we certainly hope that you do. Please post a review. hit the like or subscribe button located almost anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. I want to thank you again for joining us. I really do. Make sure to tune in next time to the Innovate That podcast.